The lockdowns had a whole lot of effect on a whole lot of different places and disrupted lives more than anything I think any of us can remember. Included amongst that is pubs and clubs. They're shut at the moment, other than for takeaways, like a lot of hospitality businesses. That also means that poker machines are inaccessible to the public for the first time since they were established in Victoria. So what does that mean for people who are problem gamblers, particularly around poker machines? Does it mean their gambling addiction stops or not? Yesterday I had the opportunity to talk to a local councillor who is also a problem gambler. That man is Dan Irwin, and he lives in Buninyong these days, grew up in central Victoria, and he's been in our region for a few years now. He got hooked on gambling at a very young age, and it took him a while to realise that it was actually a problem.
It started off for me playing football and cricket at an early age, sort of getting into, always just wanting to get into the senior side. I grew up around Riddles Creek, Gisborne area. I was just really keen to, and was probably pretty good at footy and cricket, so sort of getting into those sides at 16. A-grade cricket side, start of cricket is start of spring carnival. You know, put money in and just wanting to be part of that. I would actually work at a sports store on a Friday night and put all my pay that I got on a Friday night into the punting pool just so I could feel part of it. So that's probably where it started for me. Knew nothing about horses or what was good, what was bad. Still don't. Yeah, that's sort of when it started. So then, sort of being okay at footy, never being any good to make go of it, but getting some extra spending money, if you like, was probably bad in one case because you had that money to spend on gambling and probably drinking a bit too in those younger years. But it just sort of came hand in hand. So a lot of time, a lot of through my younger days, it was sort of the binge drinking on a Saturday night and the binge punting as well. I never really thought that I had a problem, just thought that that's what everyone did, that was the normal behaviour, that, hey, this is it, we're all doing it, so it's okay. And I sort of think to where people are now with the access that everyone has to compared to my day, where you had to go to the TAB, you had to put your bets on, and, you know, and then sort of started with a phone account. It's just so more accessible for young guys now, like for everyone. Just thought this sort of justified it to myself that I can stop whenever I want to. And through summer, I probably wouldn't hardly have a bet through summertime. And that was the routine for probably 10 or 15 years. So that was my routine, playing footy, going through that routine. And it was sort of when you're sort of going into buying houses and savings, and then you sort of identify that it's more than that.
Yeah. Did you ever play the pokies, Dan?
No, I didn't, no. You know, that's one thing I didn't do, but I got heavily involved in sports betting and online betting towards the sort of when in the last couple of years when it really got completely out of control.
What do you think, because we haven't had, the horses are still running, but we haven't had other sports going, so there hasn't been the sports betting availability. What do you think this has possibly meant for people who are still struggling with this? Can you put that into some sort of perspective for yourself as to what that would be like?
Yeah, look, I also work, I volunteer for the Peer Connection Group, which is a group on the Gamblers Help website. So I speak to problem gamblers and people struggling every fortnight, and I have about 15 callers. And I have to say, like, there's three or four that are still struggling with the pokies over this period of time when the poker venues have been shut. There's a real opportunity for them to get on top of it. They've actually gone, you know, that 50 to 60 days now without going to the venue, and they're actually sort of talking about, hey, this actually, I might be able to beat it. So for some of these pokie players, yeah, it's sort of an opportunity that we might have some really good results for that. On the flip side of that is, from what Rachel, my supervisor, was telling me the other day, that online gambling and poker in particular is through the roof, like up to 400% or something ridiculous. So a lot of the people who aren't being able to gamble on, you know, sports betting and potentially poker players as well, they're looking for other alternatives. So they're just becoming online gamblers, which is even more of a worry, I think.
Why is it more of a worry?
I see it as because you can do it all the time. Like, I look at sometimes with poker players, we can sort of limit a little bit what they're doing. We limit going to the venue. You can isolate yourself from the venue, ban yourself from the venue. we can take cards away. If you're sitting in your home, who's going to restrict you at home? Like, to get onto your laptop, get onto your iPad, and get straight on and start doing it straight through your... There's all things you can do with your credit card and access and your deposits and things like that. But the thing is, if you're a gambler and you want to find money and you want to try and use money to gamble, well, I know from experience, you'll find a way. Mm. Like, and whether that's lying to family members, work, whatever that is, you'll definitely find a way to come up with some money to gamble with. So,
when did you realise that your gambling was problem gambling? What was it that tipped it past that point?
I tell my story often, and people say, oh, it's great you've come back, but I was sort of pushed in a corner. So, I tried to beat it probably 4 years before, and still my heart was in it. And I talk to people now, and I can tell that they're either being put up to it by their partner or family members, and they still really don't want to make the change. I think it's probably the same with any addictive personality, that if you don't want to change, you'll come up with an excuse in your head. For me, it got to that point. I had that opportunity. I didn't take that opportunity 4 years earlier. And then sort of the last 2 years, changed jobs, had more money to gamble with. And it got to the point where we went to buy a house. Couldn't, because I'd been moving money every which way. And my wife at the time found out and gave me my marching orders. So within a week, I lost my whole family, my job, car, everything. Was sitting on my mum's couch, so it was a pretty low point. So I had a choice then. So my choice was either to get back and fight and get back on track, or don't do anything about it and disappear into the wilderness. So, that was sort of my low point. And that was, I still didn't have, I marvel at people who, before it gets to that point, beat their addictions. So I'm impressed by people who can do that. For me, I hit rock bottom before I did anything about it, really. And the fact that I didn't talk about it, like, I went through a period of getting depression, just as country blokes do, don't talk about it, don't mention it to your mates, because you don't want to be looking soft or, do you know what I mean, unprepared to actually get some help, or just to say, hey, I'm struggling, I need some help here. Yeah, didn't do any of that, so... Yes, that was rock bottom for me, and then slowly worked my way back from there. Yeah, if I can just think, if you are struggling, there's one message I always say, ask for help. Like, whether that's a friend, family member, going to gamblers' help. There's so many things you can do online now. Be brave enough to ask for help. That's all I'm trying to get across.